Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are in the middle of the great stock market weirdness of October 2011, and this is just getting funnier by the day, except not for you so much, because you actually have to live it.
Yeah, not only live it, breathe it. And today in particular was this, it was exhausting. Seriously. I mean, really exhausting.
Don't you get up in the morning and then you go and you start dealing with the market pretty much the same way every day? I mean, what would be more exhausting about one day over another?
Well, what the exhaustion, I think, was about was that basically the market was on a trend down throughout the day, and things looked like, okay, weren't so good, weren't so bad, and there was a lot of red, but, you know, and then this bizarre situation happened with a, we'll talk about this in depth, but a article that came out in the Financial Times, and the stock market reversed course and went vertical in a matter of 30 minutes to the point where there was a 4% move up on the S&P 500 in about 30 minutes on news that I kept on looking at and saying, I don't get why this is good news or bad news. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is, you know?
What was it?
It was that they admitted in Europe, there was some of the finance ministers that admitted that they need to do more. There was some speculation about bank recapitalization. There was some speculation that more would be done. And that just sent the markets going crazy. The euro went flying higher. And markets went berserk, think, oh, you know, but this is like the fifth or sixth time that this happens. And the bigger concern is when it happened. We call these well-timed. It happened in the 3:25 hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
About 3:25 when, you know, everybody is kind of covering positions, closing up, the traders, they're moving things around, and you get a panic that comes. You can't tell me that this is not done purposefully.
Weren't you talking about a 2 o'clock event?
Yeah, we have the – did I tell you about that? The 2 a.m. Well, we have the 11 o'clock marauder, we've named him. And he actually, he goes through about 11 to 12 in the afternoon. Sometimes he comes out again at about 2. And then at 2 in the morning, you have a little fellow that comes out. And that is a it's kind of this strange overnight action where everything all of a sudden changes. Hmm. We see craziness happen there, where there's for example, you know, all of a sudden the euro is crashing, it's going lower, and all of a sudden 2 o'clock, almost, I mean, really on the button, it goes vertical up. We call them the 2 o'clock bandit. Silver, gold, all the commodities, they start moving. Now, we look for what market particularly opens at that time. There's nothing. You know, there's nothing that really opens then. But maybe it's the pre-market of Europe. Maybe a little early. Maybe. But it's a cycle that seems to be living with itself and repeating on a regular basis.
Hmm.
I put some charts up about that. And then when I first started putting this up, people were like, what are you doing? Oh, this is crazy stuff. About 2 days later, I put it up again, the same chart about the 2 a.m. bandit. Go over the Disciplined Investor. Check that out. It's pretty wild. Hmm. Anyway, so today was very much exhausting because the move was exaggerated with stocks. So you had stocks that may have been down, I'm just saying, 3%, 2%, 1%. And in 30 minutes, they went up 8%, 9%.
Hmm.
Apple is getting killed all day. We're going to talk about that a bit. And then all of a sudden, it just starts moving up too. The entire market went from red to green in 20, 30 minutes in a big way. That's exhausting.
Well, I guess. I mean, yeah.
It's frustrating. It doesn't matter.
I would think it would make you nervous or like make you a wreck.
Yeah, it's sort of, I guess it doesn't matter what side of the equation you're on, if you're long, if you're short, if you're in, if you're out. The whole movement is so exaggerated and so sudden. I mean, really, you can go out and get a sandwich and come back and the markets could be changed by 1% at any given time.
So you have to eat in.
Yeah, no eating out. And you can't go to the bathroom. You have to wear, like, you know, adult diapers.
Well, you could have a ticker in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I suppose.
You have a bunch of monitors in there when you take, you know, you're in there and you can be punching stuff up and you could be on the phone. I don't think it's a problem.
No. So let's talk about some of the things that are going on. We can get into some of the details about this. And I think I wanted to mention that I've decided that there are liars, there are thieves, con artists, and then there's the worst of them all. You know who that is?
The Fed?
Yeah, the Fed is part of it. It's the finance ministers, particularly in Europe.
Oh, okay. Same thing.
What a bunch of creeps. Just obviously, they have to say whatever they have to say to get themselves out of this big mess they're in. Prime Minister of Greece, you know, there's
I heard him. I don't know if anybody talks about default. They don't know what they're talking about. The word doesn't even mean anything. We're in the EU.
Right. In the EU, we don't worry about that. They'll just give us money no matter how badly we miss our deficit targets. They missed their targets this weekend by a large – does anybody – do you think that Greece could actually make – all things being equal, do you think that Greece could actually, on their own, get out of the mess they're in?
No, of course not.
Right.
And they don't care to. I mean, the way I see it is like, hey, you know, we're fine. And this is we're not meeting our target. So what? Give us some more money.
Yeah. Now, let me give you the punchline, by the way. To all of my whining and moaning, and I probably sound ridiculous with, you know, calling these guys liars and all this stuff. But at 3:25 or so, like I said, the FT, the Financial Times, came out with this. And it was all over the news. And markets went crazy. Euro went higher. But what was most interesting, you had to wonder, you scratch your head, why are they, you know, why is this happening again? Why are they coming out with this today, now? What's the story? Okay, there was a big meeting in Luxembourg. All right, I get it. But the clarity came after the close, when Moody's downgraded Italy by 3 notches.
Mm.
And 3 notches, large. I mean, massive, massive move. And you realized that Moody's always gives the various countries the information first. It says, hey, if you want to dispute this, you need to tell us because we're going public with this. And so they knew about it. Therefore, what they tried to do was, you know, just basically block what was going to be a bad day getting much worse on this news and do what they can to shoot markets up, twist positions around so that there was some strength going into the report. So they were downgraded 3 notches. The euro automatically sold off, of course, like it should. It didn't sell up all the way, but it sold off. I think the euro was up 1,700, you know, so it was up 1.77 cents. And that was a lot, obviously, for the euro. And it's about 1.3% between the hour of 3 and 4, let's say. And then it sold off about a third of a cent after hours. So a third, you know, that's not humongous, but you know what? Obviously, the game, you have to almost play a three-dimensional game. Say, okay, they're saying this. Why are they saying that? And then what does it really mean? You know, it's the old read my lips, no new taxes. Well, what do you mean by that? No new taxes for who? Somebody in Egypt? Or is he talking about the United States? I mean, that's the kind of stuff you have to deal with these days.
Hmm.
So that's my day. How was your day?
Oh, I went over to the Oracle event and had some free food, and I picked up my ticket for the big concert they're having on Treasure Island on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
With Sting and Tom Petty and someone else. And
the oldie goodies.
Lounged around most of the day, wrote a column in the morning and called a few people, and had a nice dinner, duck salad with a interesting wine from Montreval, and it was, you know, a pretty normal day, nothing special.
Let me just clarify this for all the listeners for a second, okay? What John just told you was the things that he does during the day, and the interesting thing is, I think that you'd all appreciate this, he actually gets paid to do all that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, who here wants to be John C. Dvorak? I mean, boy, you
must still
be
make
exhausted.
More money than I do by a lot.
Well, but you must be exhausted from all that.
Yeah, it's pretty tiresome.
I mean, you had to choose probably from a buffet of what to eat. There's a whole big long menu and maybe various vintages that you had to choose from. And just the transportation alone, getting to and from places was probably just debilitating.
Yeah, yeah. It's rough.
And you wrote an article. Can you tell us what the article is about, or is that the hush hush?
And no, it was just an article. I can tell you what it was about. It was just a column for PC Magazine that was describing a kind of an awkward situation in the industry. I have to actually take a look at it to see what it was. I forget about these because I was working on actually a second article, which I'm going to probably send in on Thursday, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. That is a little more, I think, interesting. But this one is about, this was lamenting the end of the Zune, which is now officially dead.
Is it dead, really?
And
I still have one.
I wrote a kind of a, because I figured Apple's having their event, and of course Microsoft being what they are, had to, you know, kind of finally kill the Zune during a Apple event, which is symbolic if you think about it. Although all these MP3 players are dead, so it's no big deal.
Did you see the picture I sent you?
No, not yet.
Oh, I sent you a picture last week.
Which one? Last week?
Of the the original MP3 player?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just send me that. It's a classic.
Yeah.
So I made some comments like, let's see what I'm looking at this column. I talked about how Microsoft, when there's critical attacks, they tend to get defensive instead of like, you know, changing some of their marketing strategies. And so they, with Bob, for example, the product that they had, which would have been a great operating system for kids, they took it off their timeline. They won't admit it ever existed. And things like the Kin phone, you know, they brought this out and then they buried it, you know, 3 weeks later. And I think they really have some issues.
Well, therefore, your opinion hasn't changed.
No.
Right.
It's another column where it's like, my opinion hasn't changed, and then you can just stop right there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to talk about the Apple event? I have a couple things I want to talk to you about Europe, some economics, and a few other things. But the Apple event, they came out with a new phone. It's called the I Disappoint. Right?
Yeah.
We're like waiting, and, you know, Apple doesn't allow for a televised, which it seems like they should allow it to be televised. They get a lot more publicity from it. But it's always taped, and the bloggers are blogging, and you got to listen to news bites, and everybody's got the same date at the same time. And we're getting the little run-throughs of arriving on stage, and the this and that's upgraded, and this is happening. And then they get to the iPhone. So now all of a sudden they come out with an iPhone 4S. By the way, we got word of this early in the day, that there was not going to be an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And there was going to be this iPhone S, but it was still kind of sketchy, you know, what they were talking about. And I said, you know, if that happens, there's going to be a lot of disappointment in the stock because there's a lot of buildup. Everybody thinks there's going to be an iPhone 5.
Mm-hmm.
So they come out, and then you get the iPhone 4S and the 4S and the 4, and they're really building all these great details about the 4S and the different ones they're going to have and all this. And we're like, you know what? It would be pretty surprising here if they have another new phone coming out at the same time. And the only thing we were thinking about, which would be great, is if somehow the whole thing just winds down, Cook walks off the stage, and then the lights start flickering. And maybe on the big screen you see something fading in and out, and Steve Jobs' voice in the background saying, "Didn't you forget something?" But that never happened. Never happened. And we knew that.
That would have been dramatic. You should be. Yeah, that would have actually been quite interesting.
Right. I mean, you know, or, you know, the old, there's one more thing. But I mean, we didn't think that Tim Cook would do that because that would be stealing the thunder. Now, the theory in my office is that was brought to me was that there will never be a brand new iPhone introduction. Steve Jobs won't allow it without him.
Mm. Yeah, that's funny, but it seems unlikely.
No, unlikely. So why do you think that – what happened here? What was the breakdown between what was expected and reality?
Well, let's take a look at the reality. Well, the reality is obvious. First of all, they put it into a small venue in Cupertino. I mean, it wasn't one of the big stages. We knew Steve wasn't going to be there because that's what they said was going to happen. It was going to be a small venue, a minor announcement. This, to me, was just a practice run for Tim Cook's, you know, maybe doing some better showmanship in the future. But this was just like a dry run. Every website, with a few exceptions, which were very speculative, kept talking about this 4S and the cheap, you know, $99 iPhone. Everybody said this. And so it comes out exactly what everybody said. And so everyone's stunned. How does that work?
Well, Apple is the king of surprises. Right?
Well, maybe. To me, no. But I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you should see the stock, the second-by-second play of the stock as the disappointment grew. When they announced that 4S, it went boop and went down, I don't know, 12 points immediately.
Hmm.
It was down as, I think it's down as much as 5 or 6% at one point.
Hmm.
And then, of course, that rally happened with those crazies over in Europe and just everything got driven up. But they also have a free iPhone. I think the 3 is going to be free.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. So that just cheapened the brand.
You know, all I know is that that's actually going to be the long-term situation. You can't get away from it. I wrote a column recently talking about how all phones will be smartphones because these components are going to be so cheap eventually, because there's no moving parts in a smartphone. They're going to all be the $10 phone is going to be a smartphone, and so that this whole business is going to change radically. But I noticed that with my Nexus S compared to people that around me who have the iPhones, the various iPhones, including the 4, mine is pristine. I don't know what kind of plastic they're using or whatever, but I keep it in with my keys in my pocket. It's got no scratches. It's gorgeous. And everybody else's phones are all scratched to crap, the Apple ones.
Yeah, the back of mine is kind of scratched up a little bit. And I need a new phone. I was waiting for an iPhone 5 because my little home button isn't working so well.
Oh.
And it could be a little – I mean, the phone works fine, but I was waiting, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I don't know if I'm disappointed or not. I guess I don't have a choice.
Hmm.
You'll have to get this. I mean, I need an upgrade. But the Sprint is going to be basically betting the company on their ability to market and sell the iPhone through Sprint. I mean, they're going to 30 million phones, I think, they're buying.
Sprint?
Yep.
Hmm.
That's an enormous amount.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing they came out with, I think, earlier this week, as a matter of fact. So they're going to get that. There's some definite enhancements in this phone. There's no question. The chip is better. The camera's far superior. The screen is itself, the material is better, and there's a whole host of other little goodies in there. I mean, some of the things are interesting. This voice recognition, I don't know. Maybe one day, you know, I'll look back on this conversation that I'm about to have with you and say, whoa, was I an idiot? But the whole voice recognition thing, I don't need to speak to text to somebody. That just sounds stupid.
Well,
I'll either text or I'll call.
It doesn't work that well. I mean, I don't care what Apple thinks, because I've been playing with this because Google's had a long history of these things. And if you're in your house in the living room, a rugged room, and you speak into the thing, it's incredible. It's fantastic. You put yourself in your car, start driving around and be in traffic with horns honking and just a lot of sound, a lot of noise, and you can't. They're useless. It's absolutely useless.
I mean, you're right. If you're in an office with a microphone, you're right up to you, and the Dragon program and even Microsoft's program, and a lot of these, they work really well. I've done a lot of work with those. But I agree, then you have to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that there's no errors if you're using it for a paper that you're writing, let's say. And again, I still am not getting the whole point of talking, but then converting that to text and then sending it. It's bizarre to me.
Mm.
Why don't you just pick up the phone and call somebody? If you really don't want to do that, then don't. Just forget about it. It's kind of silly. But it is what it is. Anyway, so iPhone 5 not coming. The Financial Times, again, had a headline, a modest update to it. And we'll see what happens with that. But there's all sorts of interest about this, the next iOS 5 version. We'll see how that works. It looks interesting. There's some, I was thinking about this. There's a lot of developers for these products that come out with things that are holes in the basic, the OS, right? So, for example, Apple has a clock and an alarm clock feature and all that, but it doesn't have a really good task. There's no tasks in there. Well, you can get something from, you can pay $2.99, or you can link up with Google Tasks, or Remember the Milk, or whatever else it is. But what happens when Apple then just puts natively into its operating system a tasks manager? It just kills the whole business of a developer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to kind of think outside the box of what they're not going to come up with.
Yeah, no, if you did something, well, Microsoft has destroyed more companies that way. Somebody comes out with a little utility that is just a dynamite thing that should have been in the operating system. Everyone buys it up. And Microsoft looks at it, that's probably something we should put in the operating system. And then they put it in, and the guy's out of business.
If I could make a plea for something that should be in the operating system that I've talked to Microsoft about, they don't care, obviously, and I've talked to a lot of people about, I need a multi-clip clipboard.
Oh,
for Windows.
Yeah. You'd think, wouldn't you?
I mean, there is great plugins I use. I'm trying to think of the one I use right now for...
I'm very annoyed by that. I'm in total agreement about it. In fact, I should put on my list of complaints. I have a column that I work on. It takes me a year to do it, and it's just gripes.
Yeah, this is... I'm with you on that. I'm trying to think what this one's called here. This one is... Let me think what this is called. Yeah, it's not there. Oh, Pasteboard. This is a program that just sits on the side of your screen on a Mac, and it holds, you know, 50 or 100 different clips, and as you're clipping away, it just clipping. It's very easy to use. You just clip it again. You place your cursor over, just paste it right in. There is something I've used with Microsoft before. It's a little clunky. It's not as easy. It doesn't slide in and out. It costs money. And these anyway, point is that there should be something easy like this, because especially if you're writing a lot and things like that, you're cutting and pasting all day long.
Yeah.
Moving stuff around documents. Anyway, continuing on technology, there's been a lot of earnings. You know, earnings season starts next week, and then the following week it gets really busy.
Right, and the flagpole is forming.
The bear flag.
Yeah.
The bear flag actually confirmed.
Yeah.
It confirmed. Yep, totally. And actually, I got some emails today, some really great emails that people were telling me that they got out of the market because some of our conversations a number of weeks ago, and saved them a lot of money.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah,
so. And I would recommend that until this bear flag thing is done with, I would stay out personally.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now.
Or short. There's not that many short opportunities left, but they're always there.
You know, you have to be quick. Just be quick on anything you do right now. That's the ticket. So, but in the area of technology, there's been a lot of murmur about concern about the government sectors that really cut back, and maybe sales are starting to, you know, drop off a little bit in business because of confidence, and you know that hits that whole sector like the Oracles and the HPs, IBMs. But we had tonight a pre-announcement by Acme Packet, that wonderful company.
Oh yeah,
and they said that they're going to come in significantly lower the next quarter by about 22 cents.
Really?
Compared to, yeah, big drop. Shares
Did
initially
they explain
dropped.
Explain why?
They said that they had some order issues, and there was really not a lot that I saw, but there was it was odd because they confirmed the annual numbers. So it would seem to be a order flow or inventory issue, right? So if they're going to do the same amount of sales for the year, but they're pushing back one quarter's worth of the profits, it seems to be that it may be a delivery issue, because if it was cancellations, they would have to cancel the whole, you know, bring down the whole year.
So what happened to the stock?
Stock dropped 30%.
Wow.
Right on the news. Yep, right on the news.
Man,
and
nice
it spit down a lot to begin with.
Yeah.
And then it came back a bit. I think it was still down about 12 or 15%. We'll see tomorrow. I mean, this could get just really chopped up. APKT. I don't know if you have it up there. But
no, I'm going to go look at it right now. APKT.
Yeah, it's not pretty. You got to look at the after hours.
This is a good example of reasons you shouldn't stay in stocks. We put this on our list after hours is down six.
$6.
Down another 14% after hours.
Yeah.
So it's going to...
Well, it was down 30% after hours. It climbed back a bit.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll see what happens tomorrow with this, how it's taken. I think it's definitely concerning that there is some kind of a question about this quarter, and there's a big slash of the earnings. And then I guess we have to get some more clarity on why it is that they're moving it out, but it also means that growth is kind of stunted. We're not going to see any surprises on the upside. And the stock already has sold off incredibly.
Yeah.
Over the last thing. Hey, take a look. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a stock that was headed toward just in January through halfway through January is headed to 100.
Yep. Yep. The last time they came out with earnings, two times ago they came out with earnings, two quarters ago, and it dipped very hard down to 75. We picked it up and sold it like at 85, and then just said, you know what, we like the company, we like what they do, but something's not right.
Yeah, something's up.
Now, I gave you a link to, I wanted to start the show with this, but we need to talk about the state of the world's equity markets.
Mm-hmm.
Just to really show you the the depth of the problems. Do you have that chart up there?
I'm looking at it now. It looks as if I'm looking at one country after another, except for Russia's year-to-date, which apparently is a positive number, I'm assuming, unless there's a mistake.
Oh, that's down.
Oh, okay.
If you enlarge, it's down, yeah.
Oh, well, I've got it enlarged, and I think you should relook at that. Anyway, everything is down around the world a lot.
Right. You had things like...
Except NASDAQ is only down a little bit. NASDAQ seems to be the... I'm looking at this thing, is the strongest...
Well, the U.S. in general is the strongest.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, look at these monthly returns. Brazil, 29% down. South Africa, 20%. Australia, 20%. This is monthly. This is just September.
Yeah.
20%, 20%, 20%. I'm trying to see. South Korea, 28%. South Korea is just getting brutalized, their stock market. Hmm. I mean, it was down 6% Monday night. Came to, I think it ended up down 4%. It's gone 6% up or down the last couple of weeks a few times. Sweden down 23%. Germany 21%. That's year to date. Germany last month was down 32%. Hmm. I mean, again, looking at our markets, you got to be like, wow, hey, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
when NASDAQ was down 7.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah. And yes. Japan, that thing is not going anywhere. You're surprised it's still even alive. It was only down 9% for the month last month.
Yeah. Well, they're already at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been pushed all the way to the right anyway. Nobody wants to see them. So this is pretty scary numbers. I mean, this is some. I mean, if people are concerned about the price of stocks, when we're seeing a year to date return on the S&P of minus eight, this is through September 30th, obviously, and we were closer to about probably about the same thing, about minus nine or so, maybe 10 right now, about nine. And if people are concerned about that, think about some of the numbers around the world where you have Singapore down 19%, Mexico down 20, What else do we have on this? Malaysia down 15, India down 30. So, I mean, I think that we should be actually feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I feel great now.
You know, the one difference between us, the United States, and I think I would probably say most of the world, Brazil just changed something, but most of the world is that we are continuing on a very extremely loose monetary policy. Pumping everything that we can into the system.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we pulled back is we just stopped the gusher of money coming in, right, in the summer. Whereas the rest of the – many of the countries around the world have either been on a rate hiking move.
Austerity is the word.
Right, austerity is centered around the European area. But Brazil has been hiking rates to stave off inflation. So has been the case with India and China. And not Japan. Japan just can't get their act together. They're not a whole other animal.
Stop talking about them.
Yeah. And I mean, Australia was hiking rates too. And you say, well, you know, the countries that have all the commodities and the rich, look at Australia down 20% year to date. So there was no safe haven throughout the year so far. Oh, well, again, besides being in the Dow or the NASDAQ, I mean, comparatively.
And that's right. It's hardly safe.
So if you had a diversified portfolio where you would have, you know, equities and part of the equities would be international, some emerging markets.
Yeah, it'd be screwed, totally.
You're looking terrible right now.
Yeah.
You'd be better off being 100% in the S&P 500 than being anything anywhere else, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, well, the one competitor who's kind of close is Switzerland. It's kind of hanging in there year-to-date. The monthly was not good.
Yeah. And some of these are some currency issues going on in all these countries as well, don't forget. So, you know, you look at some of this and you have to realize that there's a lot of unrest happening around the world due to currencies, and it's really knocking around the markets. And Russia, of course, just did you see how they did a little switcheroony with the positions of government, where Putin's now going to be,
yeah,
I guess, president, and you know, everybody's concerned he's going to be a lifer now?
Yeah. They changed. Yeah. He's good for 12 more years as president. He was prime minister,
mm-hmm.
And they just. You know, but he's been running things ever since. He's the guy. I mean, the Russians have always had a strong leader that's been in there forever, and beginning with the biggest longest jerk off ever in there was Stalin, but Brezhnev was in there for a long time. Gorbachev was in there for a pretty long time. Not as long as this guy. This guy's gone back to the Tsar era. He's going to stay in as long as he can.
Would you agree that if you were to put up all of the heads of countries around the world, Russia has the toughest guys. There, I mean, these guys, you don't want to mess with these guys.
They're like gangsters.
Right. And when I was in Russia not too long ago, a number of years ago, but not that long ago, I was explicitly told that the rules have changed a bit under Putin and that you need to be very careful because everybody's listening everywhere.
Mm. Well, that's changed back to the old days.
Right, exactly. So you have to be very careful with that. And, you know, it's kind of back to a KGB kind of thing going on. You know, but anyway, to all our Russian friends, we wish you well and send some borscht.
There's no Russians listening.
No, there isn't?
I don't think so.
No?
If there's a Russian listening, send me an email.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's talk about, hey, you know what month it is?
October.
Nope. It's Stocktoberfest.
Okay.
So what we did is we asked all of the listeners of the Disciplined Investor podcast and on the blogs that we write and things like that, send in your stocks. We'll take a look at them and we'll put up our internal research that we look at on our website. We got flooded, of course. You know, anybody, hey, we'll give you free advice. You get plenty of takers, right? So we got tons of requests. And each day through the month of October, the weekdays, we are putting up at least one, if not three or four, stocks that were sent in and a full analysis of those stocks on our website.
Kind of an in-depth version of Jim Cramer taking calls.
All right. We can hang up now. Yeah. Jim Cramer. You know, when the markets go up, he told you so. When the markets go down, he warned you.
Yeah. That's stay in bear. Bear Stearns is great. Oh, so yeah. Remember that.
We have another Bear Stearns situation happening, by the way. We'll get to that. But anyway, so I just encourage listeners to go. If you want to see all the different stocks, there's a page there that lists all the stocks and links to the different pages that are going to come out. And obviously, they're snapshots of, at the time, what our rating is and the various indicators that we use in the chart. I don't know if you ever saw that, John, if we ever sent that to you.
No.
So anyway, that's right there. You know what I did also? I did my first enhanced podcast last week.
And what is that supposed to mean?
So what that means is it's a cross between video and audio. So what you do is you on various editors, you can utilize a video track or a podcast track, and you can put images. Mm-hmm. You could use video too, but I'm just talking about still images. So as I'm talking, a chart will pop up about what I'm talking about. And that was good, but the problem is it's a different format. It's an M4A format, not an MP3. Mm. It compresses really well, but the problem is not every person can actually, you know, listen to that or read that, you know, or see it on their screen. So if they have some other device, it's just not able to be seen. So we had to kind of do a dual podcast. Kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, it sounds like something worth checking out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, have you seen the MarketWatch page lately?
No, what?
All I know is I went there tonight, and I got this splash page, which was an entire page across the whole thing.
Yeah.
And usually you get that little right corner that says, skip this ad.
Yeah.
You know?
That wasn't
they
there.
They made it. It's there, but it's well hidden.
Oh, yeah.
It's like underneath the color.
This is the latest thing these advertisers are up to.
And then it says you'll be redirected in 5 seconds. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I finally found it. I saw it up there. I saw something up there. It was like a text, you know, skip this ad, but it was like a shade of a different color of the same color, so you can hardly see it.
So do you want me to complain to the powers that be?
If you'd like to. I find it really, you know what's really even more annoying than that? Aside from the whole airport shoe thing, you know what it is? It's when those ads come down and move your whole page down on you.
Ugh, I hate that.
Oh, boy. All right, so a couple of big other things we need to talk about. American Airlines going bankrupt?
AMR.
What
well, I wonder about this because it's been in the news a lot, and why don't we take a look at the chart?
Let's take a look at the chart. AMR. It came back nicely today, by the way.
Why would they be going bankrupt?
Well, this was rumors about the whole deal going bankrupt, and there was a discussion about how
it's down to $2.39. Wow.
yesterday. It was up 20% today. I mean, it was down, I don't know, 60%.
40 cents.
It went from on, what day is this? October 3rd. It went from $3. You could have gotten it for the nice low price at about $1.75.
Sounds right.
And then it kind of moved around, and now they say they're not going to go
so
bankrupt.
So this was a stock that in 2002 or so was $35, and in 2007 was headed toward $45 a share.
Yeah.
And now the same exact company, 2 or 3 years later, is $1.50, $2. I mean, what's the deal?
Back was the same price it was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, the deal is the unions are killing them. This is my understanding from what I hear, right? So the unions are killing them. Gas prices didn't help the situation. A slower economy is not helping. Competition. I think also carrying all those membership miles and all, or the frequent flyers. I'm always worried about those things just being kaput
one
day.
Yeah, I have to right? spend them. Spend, right. spend your miles.
Exactly. You know, and there's just a lot of, you know, prices have come down. And, you know, you have also things like a Priceline and various discount shops, we'll call them, that are able to get better pricing and mass quantity. And they're obviously, at the end of the day, it's the bottom line is they're not making money for one reason or another. Meanwhile, they're all buying these, you know, $500 million planes. It's, you know, well, they're not actually. It's a few other carriers. I've always wondered about that. How come some carriers are so profitable and some are so just horrible?
And they all price everything the same.
Yeah, I don't understand that
it's
at
like
all.
It's like price fixing.
Well, but it's got to be the staff, and it's got to be the input costs to the whole factor. I mean, you know, ANA, All Nippon Air, is buying a bunch of these 787s. I mean, that's a good amount to scratch.
I'd like to. There must be a newsletter out there that really addresses the airline industry specifically
to talk about what's going on
for investors.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
There is for every other sub-segment. But
yeah, I wonder if it's good, but yeah.
I would like to read that newsletter and see what the heck's going on with this company. I've been watching this over the last few days, and it's like, you know, what is the deal? And it took a plunge like this, and it looks like 2004. I mean, just precipitous. It just went from 35-40, just boom, straight down.
No, no, you know what that was? That was the last recession, or the one before this.
No.
It was 2000. Yeah, 2000 2003. Look at the chart.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what that was. And people, you know, it's exactly what's happening now. And then you see a nice pop up, and then it just drops off a cliff again. And then the economy starts to recover. Markets start to recover. Things get good. People are traveling. Business people are traveling. Now, don't forget, you also have things like, what a great segue for a GoToMeeting commercial, but we're not doing that. right. But yeah.
You can't get it out of your brain.
So you know, you have virtual meetings. You have the ability to emails, a lot more efficient communication. So you don't have to be and a world, by the way, this is a big issue. Just like we talked about with the texting, where people don't necessarily feel they need to be shaking hands with somebody to get a deal done. I think that's a big part of it.
It's always better. It's probably part of it. I don't know if it's a big part of it. There's something else going on. I think these people are either incompetent or they're trying to sink their own company, or they're pummeling it so they can, you know, get a bunch of options down low and run them up and dump it. I don't know.
Mm.
I just find the whole thing to be weird. Because like you said, nobody's doing well, but they haven't fallen off a cliff like this.
Right,
JetBlue, United, all the rest of them.
Well, let's take a look at that. I mean, actually, let's see what Delta's doing. Delta's at $7. You know, you look at historically.
What's the Delta symbol?
DAL, but doesn't have enough. They've gone in and out, so they've restructured a few times. Let's look at something else that maybe.
Well, JetBlue's a good example. They compete with JetBlue. What's JetBlue?
JBLU.
Is that it?
Well, I don't think they really do compete with them. JetBlue doesn't do international.
Okay, well then it has to be United. JetBlue doesn't look too good either.
No. US Air, but who knows what's going on with that
one. United.
No, US Air
UAL.
Is
still, what is the symbol in United? It used to be UAL.
United is UAL, yeah.
It still is, okay. Yeah, look at them. They're looking good.
Right. Look at Allegiant. Remember that little baby we had there a few times?
Oh,
it's climbed from 46 to 50 the last few days. But I think it's dropped. It was No, it's almost at a – look at that chart. Now, from 2007 till now. ALGT. This is actually kind of a nice little chart.
ALGT, I'm not getting anything.
ALGT, Allegiant Travel. ALGT.
I'm just like not getting the right – I'm on some Max thing or something. So I don't know why it's not giving me anything. Yeah, that is a nice chart.
I mean, you know, considering all that has gone on and they're a niche player, I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, they dropped as low as in 2008 of what, 20?
They never really hit that low. I mean, it's like...
Right. It's been a nice steady... You wouldn't even know that there was a gigantic recession in there.
Hmm.
So, anyway, we saw that. And what's happened with Eastman Kodak? I mean, we talked about them going bankrupt. Yeah. Then they said they weren't going to go bankrupt. Then they were going to go bankrupt. Hmm. They're looking for... I mean, they're just all over the place. Down 17% today. But after hours, up 6. I mean, but this is... When was this? This was... Friday, they went as low as, what number is that? 59 cents. Boy, you could have made a killing on this one.
Yeah.
On the way up.
Double in a couple of days.
This is a company also that was at the peak back in 2002, we'll call it, about $40.
Right.
When did digital photography start? Because that's when that was the death knell for
this
company.
In the 90s?
Yeah, but I mean, really catch on. No, come on. Really catch on. Everybody's doing it. That wasn't until 2000s.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question, not to mention. I have to, like, probably go back and figure it out. But Kodak was always in on the deal. I mean, they've got very competitive pocket cameras. They got everything except the big cameras. In fact, Kodak had one of the first digital SLRs ever.
And they actually made they made backs too. A company called Leaf,
backs,
I think it was.
Right, and they also they still to this day, as far as I know, make sensors. Hmm. I mean, they have a lot of things going on, and exactly what the problem is I'd like to get an analysis from someone, because they've got print-on-demand printers that are pretty spectacular. I mean, if the consumer stuff, yeah, they got that crappy printer, that little printer that they sell is no good, and they're not really hanging in there with the boys with their pocket cameras, even though they're just as good as any of them. I don't know what the problem is. It's got to be...
All right, so just for Christmas... We need somebody to please send a subscription to the Airline magazine or Airline newsletter and one for digital photography and digital media. How's that?
That would put us on top.
Yeah, that would be good. And then we can report back. So just send it on to John, because he's a lot of time as he's between his appetizer and his intermezzo. He could probably consume a magazine or a newsletter.
Easy,
right?
Yeah.
During the day, yeah.
Not to sit around worrying about things moving an inch.
Yeah, exactly. So we haven't talked about this, but there's a lot of discussion about recession that's been coming about.
Bernanke came out and said something.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy, and he was real, as they say, downbeat or dour, and that the Fed, you know, should do all that they can, and da-da-da-da-da. And we saw that last week, one of the particular indicators that you want to track for looking at the health of the economy is things called the leading indicators. But the leading indicators are monthly. There's a company called ECRI, Economic something Research Institute, and what they have is a weekly leading indicator that takes a lot of different things into consideration, you know, manufacturing, employment, markets, things like that. And they do a really good job at finding what the particular levels are, and one of the things that they have done very successfully over the years is called recessions and, you know, when they're on or off, very successfully. And Lashman Altshulam, I believe his name is, was on, I guess, last Thursday or last Wednesday, stating that, you know, we are teetering on the edge of a recession, and basically saying that there's nothing that can stop it at this point, because once you get into that cycle, it just sucks it right down.
Yeah.
So it looks like Goldman Sachs is assigning a 40% probability to a recession.
Yeah.
Next 6 or so months. Yeah. And that's pretty...
We're doomed.
Pretty,
there's no doubt about this.
But remember something. When a recession is finally called, it's already happened already.
I think we've noticed that. If we go look at our stocks that we've picked, we're all completely in the green, except for the Kodak one, which should have been bounced off. But we're completely in the green with everything, and everything on the list is short.
Everything.
There's not one thing on the list. Except for Spectrum Communications, that one, the ADR. That's the only buy. The other
and that was stopped out. That was stopped out too.
So and okay, so that's off. So the only two buys on there are short buys. I mean, they're ultra short ETFs. Right. So they're actually right. shorts. So and everything's short and everything's way up.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that this thing, this recession's probably begun, and probably I would say within a month or two, these shorts will start to turn around and be bounced back. I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. Well, what you get is a. Very far in advance feature where you have earnings starting to come down, but you know the market seems to be able to have a forward indicator sense of it and starts to sniff out when this is happening. And they always say that the market is a forward-looking indicator about 6 months out. And you know that because of commentary, analysis, research, and more importantly, stock prices. Stock prices are good predictors of not only sentiment but also of what's happening in the future. And that's why sometimes in the depths of a recession, a depression, a downturn, in the depths, markets start to come back. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, you got to look at the price versus really, you know, separate the price action from, what you're seeing kind of, in the streets.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is what we're getting better at. Where you are always good, but I'm getting pretty good here.
And one of the things that also is good is that, well, it's good and bad, but when you have a recessionary time, things like commodity prices go down because of simple supply and demand. And when that happens, all of a sudden you get a lower price, which obviously is aids the economy because people could spend more money on other things because when prices are up, you can't do that. So we're seeing just tremendous amounts of drawdown in sugar, in wheat, in oil, in also actually gold cracked 1600 today, which is the discussion we had last week. About why gold and silver are getting hurt. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Liquidated, and it's seemingly continuing on. And then you see the situation with that all start to build to a point that when it goes down enough, well, consumers can get out there. But there's one big problem. That one of the main components of the cost, aside from food, is energy costs for individuals. And if you haven't noticed, oil has come down 30%.
Yeah, it's down to 77.
Have you noticed there is no similarity or correlation to the extent of the drop of oil and the price you pay at the pump?
Yet.
Where is? Why not? Mm. It went up in tandem.
Actually, the crude oil has gone down, and at least locally, our pump prices have gone up. Our pump prices over the last 2 weeks have gone up.
It's not taxes. No, it can't be.
I don't know.
Well, you say you don't know, but that's a big problem.
Yeah, I would think. It's like $4.17 for a gallon of premium in San Francisco.
Wow.
The cheapest I can find is $4.
And are you driving still the hybrid?
No, I don't know. Those are all borrowed cars. No, I'm driving around a gas guzzler.
Oh.
Well, it's not that bad. It gets 26 miles a gallon, but still.
But you get free food for lunches from everybody, so what's the difference?
Yeah, no, that's actually the thing about Oracle. They actually have good lunches. They're reasonably tasty, well made.
Oh, that's
surprisingly
good.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm. I had a question for you. I want to talk about this whole Congress thing and all that. But there was a study done, and I was wondering. You're the guy to ask about this because you know these things. You know these very. You're a collector of minutia. You know what I'm saying?
I got some under my fingernails as we speak.
So there was a study done that says that a virus spread by oral sex may cause more cases of throat cancer in men than smoking.
Yeah.
And a finding that spurs calls for a new large-scale test of drugs used against the infection. Now, I need to know this. What was the testing like? How did they put this whole – what's going on?
This is bull crap. This is just another attempt to sell more of that HPV vaccine, which nobody's buying. It's a $400 vaccination, as far as I know, and it's like a huge moneymaker. That's the human papillomavirus.
Right. So you don't think there was a room full of people that were locked away on one side that were the neutral, if you will.
It's a funny idea.
But they didn't have anything. The other side was
one of those postings at the college. We said, you're testing. We want to do some testing, some medical testing. Volunteers needed.
Right. And you have one room that you don't get anything. You know the what do you call it? What do you call that? The study group is, and then that doesn't do anything. And then you have on the right, you're giving them cigarettes all day, and on the left is just like a '60s like party going on.
Yeah, the control group is the word you're looking
control
for.
Control group, right, yeah. Right. And then you have the out of control group over there.
Yeah, yeah. This is okay. This is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it just if you start thinking about this, it gets a little bit nutty.
Yeah, anyway. It gets ridiculous. It's like there's, yeah. There's no study. I don't know. Anyway,
right. I wanted to also mention that there's since I've been whining a lot and ranting and being pretty
for good reason.
You know, oh, okay, thank you. You know, I have found more so, and maybe I'm just very aware of it. My senses are heightened on this. That the media has been used as such pawns in the process of trying to shape, well, we know this is obvious, but shape public opinion and public perception. That, you know, you see, for example, the Financial Times coming out with these articles during the day at the right hour, the 3 o'clock hour. Like we've seen, this is the second or third time we've seen this in the last few weeks. Steve Leisman did the same thing last week. Remember I told you about that? The big Leisman rally that just ended in a real, not only a dud, but just a plop.
Yep.
And Steve Leisman, I think it's funny because he was originally, I believe, an economics reporter or the newsman. And then he was the head, you know, economist. Now he's spouting all this crap about how direction of stocks and this. I'm like, he sounds ridiculous lately. I don't know if you ever watch. I mean, I watch him because I wake up and, you know, have a cup of coffee and that's on. And that's the time that he's on. And he I just find it amusing that the lack of experience on the street. And understanding that just because he's been sitting in the newsroom and obviously doing a lot of work in that area, you got to give him that. It's funny that there's a belief that he can understand stocks at this level. I mean, there's a definite line between economist and money manager. You know, there's a little bit of blurring in there, but I just thought that was interesting. And then you have all the other various newspapers that are used as a regular pitching point for, you know, government tests. That again are done with
so what
anonymous.
Is your, let's summarize. What is your complaint?
My complaint is that
that newspaper you know desk jockeys working at a newspaper that prognosticate stock market activity are full of crap, and it's like you've just noticed this or
no. No,
it's just entertainment or what?
It's entertainment. But I think the funniest part of it is when you have now the people that are interviewed are the news anchors.
Oh, yeah. No, that is funny. I mean, so what do you think is going to happen, Bill?
Exactly.
What do you think? I think
My problem is that
– as good as Kramer.
Yeah. Well, the news media – I guess the point is this. The news media is obviously being used as a conduit for just crap information – that is passed out by various central banks and governments.
Well, that's all I'm talking about. This is a huge problem and it's unresolvable.
All right, good.
I mean, I think the way people have to look at it is, look, this is the way it is. Don't, you know, find some other source for your information because you're not going to get anything good from these guys.
Yeah. So finally, one more rant, one more thing.
Yeah.
Congress. I really wish they would just take a break.
They did. You know, they just got back from a break.
They need a much longer break because when they get back, they get all, you know, they start working, and that's not good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What they started doing now is they're back. Somehow they're back to the whole currency manipulation by China again. You think they would get off that shtick already?
Yeah, I know, and it's going to create a trade war if they go any further.
Yeah, China's all pissed off. It's like, dude, relax. You know, we're trying to help the whole world here, and we have our own problems with our banks and property issues and all that.
China collapse on its own time.
Yeah, I mean, we're calling them a currency manipulator. I mean, hello, where'd they learn it from? If they are,
exactly.
I mean, you know, who wrote the book on it?
Yeah,
you know. So anyway, all right, I'm done. Thank you. I feel much better. It was a bit cathartic. Thank you very much.
There'll be a bill in the mail. So let's take a look at our stocks. Anything new? You got anything? Anything coming up?
I don't have anything coming. I mean, I can give you a few things that we are looking at. I mean, I do like some of these Chinese names that have just – have you seen this? Like Baidu and Sina and Sohu and Focus Media. And I mean, wow. These things have been just brutalized.
Yeah. Yeah. We should have been on that one. I mean, let's take a look at this. What is the hot topic? What is the ticket, the winner on here? Oh, there it is. Yes.
What do you got? What do you got?
Which one? Netflix.
Oh, I didn't almost miss that one. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And although it's starting to – it's getting a little bit of support here from the folks out there that are saying that Netflix is getting to a point that it's basing and it's a good buy at this point.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And by the way, our Priceline call was pretty good.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a good one.
Hit that really good. I hit that a few times for our clients, and it really didn't cooperate, and we're being very quick to cover right now because of things like today. And we made some money on it, but I tell you something, the 506, once it broke that 490, which is my real kind of number, I mean, it really got ugly. It was down 30 points today at one point. It was really ugly. That's the power of that rally that came back. You got stopped out. We have to put that on here, actually. I'll stop this out. Of Rent Track. So you have about another 7% on that, actually. So you made 14% on that short of that stock that you have no idea what it is, but that you thought that would be a good idea. Because
it's a pure chart play.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Still don't know what they do. Never bothered to find out.
Right.
In for a dime, in for a dollar. Aflac is actually coming around. That's good.
Well, Aflac actually was in pretty bad shape again today, but that rally went from down 2% to up 7.5%. Don't forget, they have a big exposure. That's why I talk about the Euros, Euro preferreds. And then, you know, Apple is, you were in the money today for a little while there, actually. And as a matter of fact, let me see something here. You are in the money now, but you were much more in the money by another 3 or 4%. So you almost really impressed everybody. And then obviously the European situation is just a disaster, you know, just a plain and simple disaster.
Yeah, so. that EPV ultra short MC or MSCI Europe ETF is, I think, still I think it looks good now.
Yeah, well, we actually cut out of it today. We had about a 12% profit on it. It cut down to about 8%, I believe it was today. After it moved down, and that move was so fast, you had to make decisions very quickly. But, you know, with this kind of move that we saw here, you know, it could be a one-day wonder, which is very, very possible. And the downstroke will be even more violent because anybody that got in today and they start getting hit already, they're going to get hurt. And I'll tell you something else that everybody needs to understand. This is really important. It's very thin out there. Even though today's volume was pretty good, I got to tell you something. There's something very weird going on. When you're trying to buy or sell a stock, you have to chase it up on top of the bids or ask. We have had real problems with execution lately because it's so thin. In other words, the liquidity is just not there. And whether it's the machines trading, what it is, if it's a 1850 to 1855, you could try to buy at 1855. They'll give you 100 shares and just they'll rip it away from you. So, you know, there's not like a lot of liquidity out there. And they're trying to, you know, open the spreads up pretty wide. And that's why you get these giant moves. Right, so, you know, why do you get Aflac moving up 7%? Well, because there's a short cover going on, and there's a squeeze going on, and the longs are just kind of moving it away on you, and everybody's just chasing it up. So, that's the story.
Yeah, which also means we should mention that these stocks that we pick are just for an exercise, because in fact we can't even be sure we could get any of these at the prices that we put them on the spreadsheet at.
Yeah, we get pretty close. I mean, I make sure to do it when on the opening price or whatever price that we see if there's some volume. So I think that's a reasonable thing. I mean, I'll suggest, you know, one of the Chinese firms, and but at a lower price. I'd like to pick up, let's say, a Baidu at, 104. That would be a great price. I would, you know, love to pick that up. You have earnings coming up next week. You have Alcoa and JP Morgan coming up. By the way, have you seen Bank of America? It's sub 6.
Yeah.
It was 513 today.
Yeah.
And Warren Buffett says he likes to buy.
Well, he can buy it. He can own it. Give it to him.
Yeah. But I'd like some of these. I mean, I'm very much willing to bid down a little bit on some of these China stocks for, you know, again, for the longer term. I don't know. It's going to take a lot to break Baidu under 100, although it's very possible. That's number the first one. And then there's a couple other of the retails that could actually, you know, kind of come out of this if oil prices stay down. But I would short silver again. I'll tell you right now. There's no question about that. But I'll put Baidu at 104.
You want to put that it on the list?
Yeah, I'll put Baidu
as a buy.
Yep.
Huh.
It's about 110, 112 right now. So it'd have to come down about
109, I think.
Yeah, so it'd have to come down a little bit. But I would definitely go after that. And then
as a buy. I mean,
Yeah, you got to mix it up every once in a while. This is, you know, it's really been pretty brutalized if you look at that stock.
They want to buy Yahoo, you know.
Who, Baidu?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, I thought it was Alibaba.
Oh, no, wait.
You want to retract that?
I might want to retract it. Which is the one that's owned by that guy Ma?
Yeah.
Alibaba. That's Alibaba. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right.
I got all excited there for a second. You know, it's interesting. For all the discussion about Yahoo being bought, the stock really has not really.
That's because it's not going to be bought.
Yeah, I mean, what a great option play if it is going to be bought at these prices.
Oh, but yeah.
Then again.
Oh, killer.
You know, but I just don't think
I want to, I have to look at the options on that. That might be an interesting play.
Yeah, you could buy an option. It's not really moved that much, the stock. They'll be elevated because
if they don't move a lot, then the options get pretty nicely priced for a change.
So you buy a call or
yeah, a call.
I'm gonna put Baidu on here. I mean, I like Sina also. I think that's a much better possible move that you can get on there. You know, if things come around, but I still like I like Baidu. So we'll put the buy in here for Baidu. Baidu. Yeah, that's the only buy we have on here. That's pretty ugly, huh?
Yep. Pretty bad.
But I'm going to put down that we're going to put buy limit at 104. Okay? So if it hits 104, I'll put an alert on it. If it hits 104, I'll probably buy it for our firm too. So that's why we're looking at that price at about 104. We picked it up today at about 103 and sold it about 108, 109. And then it came way back down and went back all the way back up.
If I was going to put a buy on here, I would seriously take a look at Acme Packet.
Really? Okay.
I just like the company.
I hear you.
And it's at $40.
Do you want to put that on?
You know? Well, yeah, why not?
You know,
it's already
tell
been
you
pounded.
That,
yeah. The chart looks terrible, by the way. But it's,
chart looks terrible, and that global slowdown will kill that company. Although the voice over IP side of it and all that and the controls that it has are fabulous. The only thing is that you may see a little bit of a down. I guess by the open, yeah. I mean, if it was me, I mean, obviously, I would wait a little while and just wait for the first round of selling to go. But then again,
all right. Well, let's wait. Let's put a buy in. Let's see.
I would just go 10 minutes later. I mean, 15 minutes later.
Tomorrow may be a furtherance of the collapse because it bounced back a little too aggressively. So can we put it in late in the week, like? I mean, okay. Specifically call like Friday.
Whatever you want.
It's by Acme. Well, I don't know. You talked me out of it.
No, I didn't talk you out of it. Don't if that's your thesis. And by the way, just a little something between you and I. This is only a game.
Yeah, I know, but I hate to pick another Eastman Kodak. This thing could go down to 35. Yeah, I should put it in like tomorrow sometime. It's fine.
I think. Although it's taking,
it's not going to get pounded much more. It seems. I mean, I could short it. Maybe I should short it. I mean, I should stay with my theme.
Whatever you want to do. I will just tell you that I think the pop up became because they reaffirmed the annual outlook. But I don't know if that's going to be justified tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to stay out. Or short. I should. Let's do it. I could do an opposite thing and just short Acme Packet at this low price. I'm looking at the chart. The chart says, hey, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's short. Okay, we're not going to buy. We're going to short Acme Packet against my common man opinion of things.
And buy, no, short. Chart looks bad. Okay, all this information is on a Google spreadsheet. You can go. It's on dhunplug.com. Go there. Click on it, and you can see all this information, all the colors we have now, going to on a live basis. So, of course, anything we say here is not for consumption in terms of you're actually buying or selling. It's not a recommendation, not even a suggestion. It's just something that we do to kill 10 minutes on the show, right?
Exactly.
No, it's a little fun game that we play so we can see what's happening here. And so far, the shorts have been very, very profitable. I was thinking, what would happen if one day you picked the stock short and I went long? Would that just not be a good thing to do?
No, I think that's fine. I was actually expecting that to happen.
Oh, really?
At some point, no. Yeah. It just hasn't.
Well, hasn't happened yet. But Acme, I would probably wait for it to come down a bit and then.
I'm going short. I'm shorting it.
I hear you. I got it short. You're going to do it at the open?
Yeah.
At the open.
Well, what's your normal policy? Would you wait 10 minutes?
I hate trading. I hate trading before 10:45.
Okay, well, then about 10:45, short it.
Yeah, okay.
It's amateur hour.
No, because you got all.
Yeah,
what happens
no,
is
10:45 short. Yeah.
Okay, 10:45 short. Acme package short. There's your thesis. It's all in there. Spreadsheets updated.
Got it. Great. And get that Kodak thing off there.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So
I will talk to you next week. I would encourage everybody, please go check out the Stocktoberfest with over at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Lots of fun things happening over there in terms of all the different stocks analysis. And send me your comments on that. I'd appreciate it. And, of course, you want to follow John on Twitter, and his handle is?
The Real Dvorak.
The Real Dvorak. And I'm Andrew Horowitz. So at Andrew Horowitz, at The Real Dvorak on Twitter.
All right.
You want to get as many followers as Justin Bieber.
Yeah, we have to get our mailing list going, too. All right, until next Tuesday, we'll talk to you
all
then.
All right, au revoir. Have some great free lunches.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.